Welcome to Societal Shapers, a podcast by PL Cadilla, the place to get inspired, find your purpose and courage, and get tools to become the next female leader, creating real results and meaningful changes.
And I'm going back to another strategy, which is also related to the feminine and masculine, is actually the six human needs that was that I learned from Tony Robbins. I'm not sure if you know how familiar all of you are with Tony Robbins, but I'm sure you are to a certain extent, because he's like one of the biggest gurus and mentors in the US. And you know, going back to the six human needs so the first is actually certainty. So the need for assurance, so you can avoid pain and also gain pleasure, because you know what's going to happen, right? So there's no surprises. Then secondly is a need for uncertainty. So the need for uncertainty is actually the need for a variety, right? So for example, when some people might say, you know, I want to know, I must know. If I don't know, then it puts me in pain. But some people are like, oh, I love surprises. You know, surprises are uncertainty. That's like a form of variety. And so they love that. So a lot of women love that, right? They love surprises. They love the unexpected, you know, suddenly falling in love. So that's like elements of uncertainty. The third is the element of significance. So, you know, people, when we talk about this human need, this is basically what people try to achieve and get out of their life. So they behave and act in certain ways in order to fulfill these needs. So I'm going to go through the list and then you'll understand why they're so important. And the next is connection and love. So connection and love is the ability to connect. So we're all social animals, right? So now being on lockdown, we've kind of lost to a certain extent that ability to socialize, the ability to connect with people. And, you know, connecting with people on video is very different from being able to connect physically. And, you know, that's one of the, I think, feminine energy as well. That's kind of missing because of the lockdown. Then the fifth is on growth, which is an expansion of our personal development. So the need of wanting to continuously develop and learn and continuously learn. And the final one is the need for contribution. So, you know, the need of the sense of service and being able to help and give and support others. So that gives us a sense of satisfaction. So the reason why, you know, I'm bringing this up, you know, as a strategy to navigate relationships, right? So earlier it was, you know, understanding the feminine and masculine energy so that you're able to harness the positives out of these energies in order to navigate the relationships that you have. The six human needs is also another way or strategy for you to be able to navigate relationships. And I think this is really important because at this time, you know, we're seeing businesses falling apart. People are losing their jobs left, right, and center. People are losing income. And so, you know, immediately you're kind of thinking, how do I then now restart or rebuild my life? Let's say if I'm one of those who've been unemployed and I just saw, for example, Korean Airlines, 19,000 workers and 70% of them are being laid off. And all of a sudden, you know, almost 10,000 people being laid off, and they've been in the airline industry for maybe, you know, almost half of their life. So what do I do now? What skills do I have? Then that basically pushes me to be able to find another skill, to be able to connect with people, to find what other opportunities are available out there for me to be able to earn some money. I mean, this ability to connect with people is really important when you understand these six human needs, because then it will strengthen your relationships with people. So I'm going to give you an example of me and my husband. So when I went through these six human needs with him as an exercise, he said that if you were to rank the six human needs, the top ranked for him would be contribution, because he's a giver. He loves to give. He's a very generous person. And so I said, okay, you know, that's interesting. So how I would rank myself might not be how others would rank me. So after being with him for a while, I realized, actually, that's not his top ranking priority or needs. His top ranking needs is actually the need for significance and love and connection. So when I, you know, when he's, for example, like doing something for me, that's an act of giving. But that does give him a fulfillment to a certain extent. But because the need of love as well as significance sits at the top, so his need is not completely met. So then I find him, you know, wanting to, he communicates that with me, but he doesn't directly communicate that with me. So I have to kind of figure it out myself. And then once I realize that, you know, his most important need is significance and connection for love, then I can take proactive actions to ensure that I give it to him. So this is also like, you know, a really interesting tactic or strategy which you can pull. So if you understand people's human needs, you are able to then fulfill that need and then take a slack in other areas. So, you know, as long as the person's needs are met, then you can actually do other stuff to fulfill your own needs. I think, so do you understand this example?
Definitely. I mean, I think it's amazing that you've used, you know, Tony Robbins' six human needs, because obviously there's so many models and paradigms you could have drawn in here, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, all this other stuff. But, you know, I mean, I'm a massive proponent of, you know, Tony Robbins. I like what he does. And, you know, there's many kind of gurus and all this kind of stuff that I kind of look to, and he's definitely there. And I think it's amazing that you've used that paradigm, you know, or that way of looking at it, because I think it's particularly apt with what's going on right now. You know, I'd look at it slightly differently. I think that, you know, with regards to everything that you've just mentioned, I think that we everybody has a need in every aspect of that. So let's take, for example, this need for certainty and the need for uncertainty. Okay, now everybody's going to have to different extents their needs, you know. So I have a greater need for uncertainty than certainty. I do want certainty, don't get me wrong. It's really important to me that I get to a point where my businesses are making a certain amount per month. You know, it's really important to me that I know that consistently my health is there. You know, there's certain things that I do appreciate certainty, but I thrive on uncertainty. So when things are great, I celebrate it for a little while, but I want to go for the next goal. You know, again, that masculine energy, that aspect there. And so that needs to be balanced. You know, and I think that you're absolutely right. It is about understanding, you know, your partner's needs. And Nick is definitely, his need for certainty is greater than his need for uncertainty. You know, he's a lot calmer than me. He likes systems. He just likes to follow a process. He's very good with implementing and solidify processes. And I want to get onto the new thing, and I want to redesign it, and I want to improve it, and I want to change it, and I want to. So I think it's really important that as a couple, you understand the differences between each other, and you're able to support each other in those differences. And, you know, there is this consciousness there about, you know, balancing all those needs in some capacity, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting that you mentioned that, because I remember a friend where, you know, she's a very independent woman, and, you know, she's always done things for herself. Right, so if she wants to travel, she'll just book a ticket and she'll just go. So finally she met a guy, got together, and then, you know, they were supposed to go for a holiday together, and you know, as usual, she was going to book the flights and everything, and the guy was like, no, but I want to book the flights. And she was like, no, it's fine, you know, I'll book the flights. And she was like, no, but, you know, I would love to book the flights for you. And then they got into a whole argument about that thing. And then when I heard about it, the first instant reaction was like, just let him book that goddamn flight, you know? Like, why would you have to argue with that person? So that's just an example, I think, of where, you know, although, and she's like the most sweetest girl, you know, so in terms of physique, she's very feminine, you know, like, for example, like me, I'm built more masculine than a lot of other feminine women. And I think, you know, guys, both of us can resonate with that. But the point is, this is Angela, by the way. So, you know, Angela's just a really small, petite girl, but super alpha inside. And, you know, had to argue with this guy and didn't speak for days just because, you know, she wanted to book the flight. And I was just like, oh my God, honestly, if you just understood that this guy's needs, for example, is certainty and processes, and just give it to him, because then he'll feel good about himself. So that's how it's, you know, so relationships, navigating relationships, being able to understand the other person. It's not just about having empathy or compassion or like, oh yeah, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but it's beyond that. It's so much more than that, right?
But I think that the reason they're having this clash is because none of them are really talking about why he wants to book the flight. Like, I understand where she's coming from. Like, I love my husband. I think he's amazing, but I don't want to let him book flights. I want to book the flights. Yeah. I want to book the flights because I'm used to booking flights. I know, you know, I'm going to get the best combination. I'm going to get the best price. I've got more experience. I want to book the flights. Now, if Nick came to me and was like, look, babe, I want to book the flights. I'd be like, babe, why do you want to book the flights? Let me understand why you want to book the flights. And then let's meet in the middle about why you're trying to book the flights. Because there's no point, because you feel like doing something is going to be to the detriment of both of us. Let's come to a middle ground. Maybe book the flights together this time. Once I know that you understand my criteria of booking flights, then maybe next time we can book the flights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like the only time when, you know, I've never booked the flights is like when it's, you know, a surprise. It's his credit card, not our joint money. He, you know, his credit card, and it's a surprise for me and even then. But, you know, it's communication, you know?
And that's key. Okay, that's key. So now I want to throw this back to the audience, because I see that you've actually wrote some stuff in the chat, which is amazing. I'm going to read that out. But before that, there's an exercise based on what we've just shared for all of you. So the first is to first rank your own needs as out of the six. So which one sits right at the top, all the way to the six, right? And then I want you to then rank the person closest to you. So, for example, you know, if you, Komaki, if you, you can rank your husband. Zawana, if you have a boyfriend, you can rank your boyfriend. But if you want to rank your parents, for example, you can. So you can actually do this exercise. You can rank based on how you know the other person in terms of what sits at the top. And then you can ask someone else to closest to you to see how they would rank you. So that's actually very interesting, right? So, for example, like, you know, actually, guys, we've been friends for such a long time. And I think for me to rank you, I would probably put growth as like the top two, growth and maybe love. Growth and love. Would that be your ranking, really? Okay.
I thought you weren't gonna come out and say significance, but I think you're absolutely right. I think personal growth and love are probably the two most, you know, important things to me, because without personal development, heck, like, just forget it. People who are struggling mentally today, who are going through depression, even couples where there's you know, domestic abuse in there, or we're not able, it's a lack of personal development. There's a lack of maturity through a lack of introspection and a lack of growth. And I tell you, part of the reason why we've had a successful time, despite what's gone on with us being stuck here, is that dedication to personal development, that dedication to improvement and growth. I'm like, there are things that I've wanted to improve about myself. Now's the time. Now that we can pause and do, let's spend the time getting better. So, I think you've done really well.
I'll tell you why I ranked you those two, right? So the first is because, you know, you've had a series of, you're a serial entrepreneur, you're successful businesses today, but I know you've gone through lots of failures. But, you know, none of those failures have ever kept you down. You've always gotten back up and said, you know, I'm going to start the next thing. I'm going to start the next thing. But this is like that go-getter thing. So I know that that's what drives you, that, you know, that continuous learning and continuous development of yourself. And then when it comes to love, at the end of the day, you know, just I think, you know, being able to have this relationship with your husband and knowing when to be submissive in a way for the sake of the relationship, that means you rank that pretty significantly. So my marriage above all, I need to put this as priority, family first, for example. So that's why I think, you know, those two rank at the top. And that's because I know you. So, you know, for the audience, this is the exercise which I kind of like, you know, we've done this live demo, which I would love for you to rank yourselves and then rank, you know, the next people who are closest to you, because it's really interesting. And once you've kind of ranked yourself, talk about it, communicate, discuss about it, and then say, you know, is this true? Is this not true? Otherwise, if it's not true, then why? This will really get you to become closer. And I did this exercise with my husband before we got married and after we got married. And I think it's a really powerful exercise. And do it when, you know, it's just the two of you, you don't have kids around, you know, no distractions, you know, really get deep into it. So while you're thinking about that, guys, so there have been some comments in the group chat. I'm not sure if you can see it, but I think it's really nice to read this. For Komathi, for example, so Komathi says, for me, it's been more of the feminine energy. And because of this, I used to find it so difficult to stand for myself. Upbringing has got a lot to do with it. Even till today, I am told by the elders, don't offend anyone when they hurt you. Just let it go. So this is very true, especially in the Asian society, I would say. I'm not sure how it is in the in Nigeria, for example, but I think, you know, the West is very different. You know, people are a bit more, alpha female, etc. And I completely agree with you, Kamathi. So, for example, when it comes to my mother, she's a strong alpha female. So no matter what she says, she's always right. Right? So, you know, exactly. So, you know, what do you value most? So again, it goes to that human needs in terms of ranking, right? So my top ones I also love. And I think, you know, because of that, I appreciate that relationship with my mother more, and I don't want to lose that relationship with her. So a lot of things I let it slide. But when it comes to, you know, certain values and principles which completely clashes with what I believe in, I will have a conversation with her, but not during that heated time that we're having the argument. So during the argument, I know that I'm just gonna, you know, let it slide, keep quiet, and then hold my thoughts to myself, hold my tongue. But then later, you know, I'll bring it up to her and say, you know, that conversation that we had the other day, and I know you felt strongly about this, but this is how I feel, and I just want you to know about it. And so, you know, and then, you know, it will sit with them. And I think, so this is another example of how you are able to bring down your masculine energy, although we're generally more masculine, and then bring up that female energy coming from a place of love, coming from a place of, okay, just let it go. I don't have to control everything. Right now is a time for me to let go of control. And then later, when I find the moment, I take back control. So you've got to be...
I think that you've summarized that so smartly, and I think that's the way forward. I mean, you know, mothers and daughters always have kind of relatively complicated relationships, especially when you're in business. I'm in business with my mom. So when things are amazing, oh my gosh, she's amazing. She's so great. When things are not great, and business is struggling a bit now because of this, you know, my mom called me up and gave me massive rant last week, you know, because of something that was going on in the business. And the me of the long time ago would have wanted to, but I just sat and I listened and I said, okay, great. And the only time I kind of interrupted her is when she was like, oh my God, no, this is so stressful. It's going to kill me. And I'm like, please, we can't speak death into this. I'll take everything else. It's my fault. It's this. We can't speak death. And we left it. And 2 days later, she called me up and said, hey, hi. Like, nothing had happened. And I think that was the best thing. The best thing was for me to just be quiet and take it in. And so 100%, this goes back to picking your battles. But at the same time, if you are 100% submissive all of the time, you are the one that suffers. You know, there's that saying, the nice guys finish last. That is the truth. I understand there is definitely some cultural sensitivities. You know, in Nigeria, definitely age, you know, it's important that you are the older, you know, older people, we respect them. There's a deference when someone is much older, you know. But I think that's social aspect. But then I think in your professional and in your business life, there needs to be an element of assertiveness. That doesn't mean that you need to go in aggressively, but you do, you know, you do need to be able to say, look, if something is wrong or it's going to detrimentally impact you, or you're going to go away and feel rubbish about it for 3 days, I've definitely learned it's better to just address it than go away for a whole week and be like, oh my God, why didn't I say anything? Or why didn't I do this? Or why didn't I do that? It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the people around you. Mm-hmm. They might think it does, but I'm telling you, in the long run, it doesn't. You know, so yeah. Assertiveness, if it's something that you're not good at, it's something you need to work on. And the way that you can work on that is watch YouTube videos about assertiveness. You know, find somebody in the media or who you like the way that they behave. They're not too masculine, they're not too feminine. They've got that lovely and balance. Assertive. They're assertive. You're trying to model yourself.
Yeah, and assertive is very different from being aggressive, right? Yeah. Being able to be assertive is really an important trait, especially when it comes to leadership skills. But being aggressive is a whole other story. So you need to be able to differentiate that. And I think now we're going to go to Jamie's comment, where she says that from my past experience and based on my personality or character, I am more towards the masculine energy. In a disagreement or conflict, I stand on my ground. Of course, I do not physically fight people. Normally, I deal with conflict logically, and I try to convey what I believe is right to the other party. So this is, yeah, definitely very, 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 very masculine energy. Right. So how do you find, Jamie, you can also unmute yourself and just join in the conversation. But, you know, how has the masculine energy in a way hurt certain relationships that you've had probably in the past because you've been quite aggressive or quite masculine in the way how you manage deal with things? Or how is it actually, you know, you've been able to balance your feminine and masculine energy? Because I imagine if you have your masculine energy continuously, then it wouldn't be so easy to navigate through relationships. Do you agree? Yeah, so feel free to comment on that.
I think it's virtually impossible to have a successful relationship if you're going to just carry that masculine energy all the time. I think it's virtually impossible, you know, and it's the energy that we're talking about. It's not a case, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, if you're the breadwinner in your household, your relationship's never going to be good or whatever. No, I'm just saying if you are constantly carrying that energy, I think that most of your relationships will fail. You'll feel frustrated. Your partner will feel frustrated. And I think it's very difficult to cultivate anything fruitful if you're constantly in that space. You know, yeah. That's my view. Yeah.
And then from Nurzawana, we have, hi everyone, my feminine energy tends to stand out. This becomes an issue when dealing with friends or colleagues. And I'm trying to get my opinions or suggestions across. It seems like my lack of assertiveness, oh my God, it's perceived as a weakness and it goes unheard. When I do exert my bursts of masculine energy, I'm scared of being seen as bossy and demanding. Okay. So this is a very interesting one, right, Zawana? Because I think, especially when you're younger, there's this passive-aggressive relationship that we're trying to navigate, especially with peers and friends. So, you know, when you're that young, so what I've noticed, and when I think back upon, you know, when I was with my friends, not everyone could carry an intellectual conversation. That's most important because, first of all, you know, lack of experience, lack of maturity, age is definitely plays an important role here, right? So if we are trying to convey our thoughts and opinions, depending on where that person is from, the other party, if they come from, you know, because a lot of us have our lenses that we have on, or our filters. So depending on their family background, environment, education, you know, how they've grown up, who are their influences, they've probably already formed a certain filter of how the world looks like, right? And so this is the time when you are in your, you know, just about to hit your 20s, within your 20s, and you're about to form opinions and you're about to share this. So not everyone is able to accept that. And there will be, you know, lots more negative people to try to put down your thoughts or try to put down your, because they're not there yet. So, you know, whenever you have these kinds of suggestions or opinions, then the best way, I think, is to really understand where that person is from, right? And then think about what kind of strategy can I use? Which energy can I harness and I can draw upon in order to deal with this? If I find that, you know, at this point, this person is unable to accept, it may not just have to do anything to do with the feminine or masculine energy. This person is just unable to hold a conversation. So there's also that part, right? Because in order to have a conversation with someone at this level, you must have a level of intellectual capacity to be able to hold the conversation. And not everyone has that. So the ability to understand that, okay, this is the level that I'm going to, it's going to be just this surface level. I'm not going to go deeper because you know it's going to be a losing battle because that person doesn't have any other facts or context to back them up. And so they don't like to either lose also. They don't like to be wronged. They don't like to look that they're dumb. So they will become defensive and they will try to put your ideas and your thoughts and opinions down. So it might not be so much of a feminine and masculine energy issue at all, in fact. But it's important to continuously learn how to communicate and articulate your messages across, because sometimes we may articulate it in a way that makes people feel defensive because it comes off wrong. So we have to continuously try. So when we're young, it's a constant trial and error of how you approach people, how you articulate your messages across. Is it coming off the right way of how you want it to be, right? Because especially with a language barrier, we've got English, we've got Bahasa, we've got different languages. So that also plays a role. So I hope that answers your question and hope that's a strategy which you can use. And obviously engaging with people who are a lot more older by experience, maturity, and also in terms of like their background, that will be able to help you further develop your opinions and thoughts, right? So that's what you want. You share your opinions and thoughts because you want to further develop them, right? So if you can't have that with your peers, find people who are older than you to have those kinds of conversations.
Can I add a couple of things to that? The first one is I want to mention about is intuition, and I think a lot of the time, you know, females, we have amazing intuition, but sometimes we ignore it. You know, we've all been there where, you know, we've met this guy and there's so many red flags, but we're like, oh, but he's so cute, and you know, and you just want to keep talking to him, and you want to, and you should just know from the start that, you know, this guy is just like, you know, not great, and step away from it. And I think we have to trust our intuition, not just in the context of relationships, but also in the context of business. You know, if you are employed, when you're going for an interview, or if you're working with someone in your or team member, you've got to have an intuition before it even gets to a conflict perspective about the kind of person that this person is. And you should be developing tools to deal with this person before any kind of conflict arises in the future. If you're an entrepreneur, you need to think about the people who are your clients. And I'm very intuitive when it comes to my clients. It's obviously taken a few years to kind of get to this point. But, you know, I'll have a sense if this is the kind of person I want to do business with. You know, when you're starting up, you end up having to do business with everybody. But you do get to a point where it, sometimes it is better and healthier and more profitable to just stay away from people who you know that you're just going to clash with, that you can't be the best person, you know, with. And I think over time, yeah, you're absolutely right. Life is about learning. Life is about development. Over time, you learn this skill. And then, yes, secondly, PR is 100% right. I think that people these days, it's the educational system all over the world. You know, we have this system where the system just keeps telling us, okay, let's be great in school. You know, don't let anyone copy your test, get the best result in your test and all this. And, you know, life is so low. Life is about you being the best employer and whatever, whatever, mate. Life is about teamwork. Life is about collaboration. Life is about, you know, working with people. So if you, there's something you're struggling with, find somebody you trust and you respect and you like and you look up to and ask advice. If you like the way that they deal with it, don't try and figure it out in your head. Ask advice. Success in life is about who, not what or how. It's about who, you know? Yeah. So that's my view with that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. And thank you, everyone, for the comments that you have, that you've shared. You know, it's been really lovely to have you get to have you engage in this session. So I'll just, you know, I'll close off the session. Don't forget the exercise, by the way, on the six human needs. Do a self-check and then do a partner check. So there were a few key takeaways that I wanted people to leave this webinar with, right? So the five of them are, the first is to have the ability to agree and to disagree, right? So this is the part where, you know, you're harnessing your female and your masculine energy. How do you find that balance? When do you pick your battles? When do you not? When do you actually exert, become more assertive? When do you sit back? So depending on what it is, right? So the ability to agree to disagree, being able to listen and embrace different opinions. So that's really important. So I think when you listen and embrace different opinions, it's such a feminine energy because you're just being present and, you know, there's no judgment, letting go of control. Then the third is to be open to different perspectives. We live in such a diverse world, you know, coming out of this crisis, we have no idea what that's going to look like. But I think, you know, we really, this is a time where we need to learn how to be open to different perspectives. And then the fourth is the appreciation for diversity and the diverse experiences and worldview everyone brings to the table. So what can I learn from this other person? So if you just look at, you know, the attendees of this webinar, Augusta, you know, you're of Nigerian origins, living in the UK, Zawana, Kumathi, you know, we live in Malaysia. Jamie, I'm not sure where if you're in Malaysia as well. You know, just put in the comments, see where you're from. And then, and, you know, Rosh is from the Philippines. Dada Fernandez, you know, feel free to share where you're from. I think, you know, just this webinar alone, with seven of us, and we're already very diverse and coming from all over the country, all over the world. And therefore, having a conversation like this, checking that the West and the East and the South and the North, you know, what are the different perspectives that we all have? And bringing that together, and see, because, you know, like you said, it's about collaboration. We can't collaborate if we don't understand each other's culture and we don't embrace diversity. And the final takeaway is having the ability to banter and communicate our points across based on facts and statistics, right? Not just speculations or feelings. So going back to your point, Joanna, being able to share your thoughts and opinions. So, you know, if you're having these thoughts and opinions with person A, for example, and then this person, you feel that you keep getting bashed by them for whatever reason, speak to person B, speak to person C, right? So whoever who makes you feel insecure, then, you know, what happens is when somebody makes you feel that way, it makes you lose confidence. It makes you become insecure. It makes you fearful, and therefore you don't want to communicate or share your thoughts and opinions. Because I've experienced this personally when I was, you know, younger, living in Malaysia, for example, because religion is such a stronghold in, you know, in this country, and therefore people will always try to shut you down by saying, oh, the religion says this. It doesn't matter what you think, but, you know, this is how it is, so you can't question it. And so, you know, many times you just fall flat on, like, oh, you know, so I can't think, you know, it's not good to question if I don't have the right to question. So when, you know, when you're faced with those kinds of situations, you need to get out of that and then use another way, find another avenue, find a different alternative to communicate your, and find strength and confidence in that. And I think that's how I want to finish it off. And I hope you were able to understand and apply the two strategies, which is the six human needs, and be able to harness the feminine and masculine energy. Yeah. Guys, any final thoughts from you?
No, this has been very enlightening. I think we've covered a lot of ground, and I hope it's kind of, you know, been helpful. It's been an amazing discussion. So more of the same, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, what's also come out of this is, you know, I shared with us, and I think there's so much more wisdom and knowledge that we can share, especially from a business perspective, especially from, you know, trying to grow as a woman and being what you want and taking ownership over who you are. So, for example, I know, Kumasi, you want to start an organic business, and therefore, you know, you're thinking about, how do I show up for myself in this world, be able to find a voice. And so, you know, Gus has a lot of entrepreneurship experiences which he can share along the way, and so therefore this perspective segment will be a series of segments in the future, talking about finance, talking about entrepreneurship, talking about, you know, just skills and women in leadership positions, etc. And I hope to have you guys tune in for the other segments, and invite your friends, especially you, Zawana. I know, you know, you're still studying, you're doing a PhD, and so, you know, invite your friends, people, you know that's the main target audience. We want to be able to help people with the younger ages, because they're going to be the next future generation. Okay. Oh yeah, so hold on, Jamie said she's from Singapore. Thanks, Jamie, for tuning in. Okay. Can I just share what Jamie said before we finish off? Sorry, but I think this is really important. So she said, I was able to gain the respect and power from people around me when I speak what I think and believe. That's true. Depending on the society that you live in also, right? So in Malaysia, when you, as a woman, as a Muslim woman, try to speak up, it becomes something different. when you're young, right? However, there are people that disagree. Yeah, there you go. From my past relationship, I was very focused on myself and building a career and business. Thus, I neglected my partner because there were disagreements and unhappiness, since men have higher ego than women. Mm-hmm. That's a very high masculine energy, the over-masculine energy. Women are more emotional as compared to men. That's just because, you know, they're more motherly. Thus, I am trying to find the balance between being feminine, using emotions, and masculine. There you go. So I hope this session tonight was useful for you to be able to find that balance. So you are able to identify what are the feminine traits and the masculine traits. And this now is to practice being conscious of what energy you're at when you're actually being with, especially with your partner. Or I hope you're still with the same partner. But in any case, you know, with your partner or with your future partner, just be able to be very conscious and taking proactive measures to be able to harness the right kind of energy to find that balance. Because we don't want to be confrontational. We want to be able to, you know, be a woman of respect, be a woman of substance. But at the same time, we also want to be able to keep that peace and that relationship with our partner. And there has to be that balance. All right, guys, so thank you so much for everyone tuning in tonight. Hope we didn't tire you with like a whole hour, but I think it was really useful. All right, so take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you liked it, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, leave a comment, and share with your friends. Be sure to tune in to the next episode, and to find out how to be part of Societal Shapers, head to www.plcadilla.com and check out our coaching programs. Catch you soon!